14, verse 1 through 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus. He said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. For Herod seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. But because John had been saying to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her,' and though he wanted to put him to death, he feared the people because they held him to be a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company and pleased Herod, so that he promised an oath to give her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, 'Give me the head of John the Baptist here on the platter.' And the king was sorry, but because of his oath, he and his guests commanded that it would be given. He sent and had John beheaded in prison, and the head was brought on the platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came, took the body and buried it, and when they told Jesus." Last two verses. "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat in a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot in the towns, and he went ashore and saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick." I want to preach a message entitled "From Mourning to Miracles." From mourning to miracles. If you're in this room today and you have gone through anything, maybe it was last year, maybe it was last week, maybe it was a last decade, maybe it was so far along that you're thinking to yourself, "God, can you do anything with this?" You know, sometimes we think God can do this, God can use that situation, he can use this circumstance, he can use this character, but God, can you use this? And my message today is I believe that God can use it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to speak to your people. Lord, I thank you for the season that we've been in, that over the last month, we've seen you do some incredible miracles. We've seen you preach some incredible sermons as we have fasted, as we have believed, God. And I just ask that you would show up and you would show off. Lord, would you breathe on your servant this morning? Would you breathe on this message? God, if there's a person in this room that usually they're not open to hearing the messages and they're not open to hearing preaching, God, I pray that today you would soften their heart. You would open up their ear to hear the word of God and that it would go forth and produce something in their life. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. You know, growing up in church, I always heard this idea that God can use anything. If you've gone through a circumstance, if you had a bad day, if you got some bad news, God can use it. And I've always understood that intuitively, even as a young man right now as I preach to you, that I understand that when I'm going through something hard, Jesus wants me to give that hard thing to him. But how many know there's a lot of things that are easily said that's hard to preach? There's a lot of things that you can just say, but it's hard to apply. Surely Jesus wants us to give us his everything, but easy for Jesus to say, right? He's Jesus. He's perfect. He is God in flesh. He dwelt amongst men, but he wasn't a normal man like me and you, right? So when you see Jesus go through something, sometimes you kind of just put it and you think to yourself, well, that's Jesus. But I like this story particularly because it's one of the only stories in the Bible where we really see the humanity of Jesus on display. What I mean by humanity is that there's a lot of things about Jesus that has nothing to do with his humanity. It's about his divinity. He was fully God, yet fully man. So we know his fully God part when we see him walking on water, when you see him resurrect, when you see him foretelling the future, when you see him declaring things to Pharisees and Sadducees, you can see, man, there's something different about this guy. But very rarely do we just see the human side of Jesus. I love this particular story in the Bible because John the Baptist is Jesus's cousin. You know, when we think about Jesus, we think about he's our family, but we don't think that he actually had some cousins. He actually had some family members. And this is a story about Jesus's family member dying. Maybe you're in this room and you face some death. Maybe you've lost somebody. Maybe you've gone through something in your life and you're wondering, what do I do? I think this story can help you. Because in the story, John the Baptist doesn't even deserve the very thing that's happening to him. He's just being a man of God. He's just declaring things. He's just speaking things. And before he knows it, he's arrested. Why? Because he just got arrested. And Herod decided, because evil runs in the family, his dad was named Herod, and Herod had 7 sons. This is how evil his father was. The first 3 sons he had, you want to know what he did to them? He killed them. That tells you who your dad is. When he says do your homework, you're going to do that homework in the name of Jesus. All right, Dad, my bad. I saw what you did to my brother. I don't want you to do that to me. and evil ran in the family. In fact, the very person that sent the order to kill the children in the beginning of the Gospels to get rid of the life of Jesus is Herod the Great, which is this guy's father. And just like his father, evil runs into him. Evil is in him, and he doesn't even want to do the thing that he's actually going to do. That's why the Bible says he was sorry. Like when he goes and he does the order, he feels bad. He doesn't want to do it. That's what the Bible will talk to us about, worldly sorrow, where you feel bad for it. You feel bad enough to feel bad, but you don't feel bad enough to change. You just feel bad. It's wrong. You want to put it, you don't want to act like you did it, but you just kind of look away. That's what King Herod did. John the Baptist is in prison, and he's thinking, I'm going to get out. I've been wrongly accused. I shouldn't be in here. I shouldn't be in this circumstance. I know God's going to get me out of it. God's going to set me free. That's what God does. And before he knows it, the guards come. And they open up the prison, and John probably thinks, okay, I'm going home. Thank you, Jesus. But you're not going home, John. They took him out of one cell, and then in this culture, they would have walked him to a place of execution. And he would have saw the hallway, and he would have knew, oh, my life is about to end. I don't deserve this. I don't know why. They're going to take me out, and they strip you of your clothes, they strip you of your dignity, and then they beat you before they even behead you. And so he gets beaten, and he sits there, and they kill him. And John, a lot of people don't know this, but John, he had disciples. And his disciples hear that our teacher, our rabbi, our friend, our pastor, our leader, he's dead. They go and they grab the body. The reason that they're grabbing the body is because they want to anoint the body. That's what they did in this time, in this era. And then somebody, one of the disciples, said something like, hey, we're going to have to bury the body, but someone's going to have to go tell Jesus. Imagine being dealt the card that you got to go tell Jesus something that he already knows. So you fashion to yourself. Now, meanwhile, Jesus is here. Fully divine, he knows what's coming. Some of us think this, well, if I would have saw it coming, I wouldn't have been hurt. You're going to see in this story, Jesus saw it coming and he was still hurt. Because whether I tell you you're going to get hit in the face or whether you get hit in the face by surprise, either way, you got hit in the face. Whether you knew the hurt was coming or whether the hurt got you off guard, it still hurts. And Jesus knowing my cousin is going to die. Jesus knowing the exact second that his cousin will cease to live on this side of eternity. And he has to regulate himself down to his humanity and not intervene. So the disciples come and they tell him something that he already knows. Hey, Jesus, I just want to. No, say it. I know, just say it. Well, Jesus, John's gone, Jesus. John, he's, for what? Because he was doing the right thing. So you mean the right thing created the wrong response? Yeah. Because sometimes life can go wrong even when you're going right. Sometimes you can be doing the right thing. You can be loving Jesus. You can be loving your family. You can be reading your Bible. You can be fasting. We're in a sacred season, and you're doing everything sacred. And why are you being surprised, not by his promises and his blessings, but why are we being surprised by burdens? Check the mail. You're expecting a check, and you open up a bill. I thought I paid that. You were praying for this kid, and you were like, gosh, I don't know what's wrong with their genetics. It has to be their daddy. That has nothing to do with me. It has to be their dad. And then this kid finally starts acting good, and now this one. And you're like, gosh, I don't even know how I got here. Why is it getting harder when I thought it was supposed to get easier? Jesus never promised that this life would be easy. He promised that he would be with you. He's with you. Now, Jesus, I know there's someone in this church right now, they're like, okay, he's 10 minutes into his sermon. This man is talking about beheading on a Sunday. Now, I could have talked about David and Goliath. I could have talked about God blessing you and he wants to do those things. But I think there's people in this room that you're going through something that maybe you hearing that Jesus went through something crazy like this makes you believe in Jesus a little bit more. I grew up in church all my life. I remember going to a youth camp when I was 12 years old. A preacher told me I was going to be a preacher when I grew up. He said, I see you going around the world preaching the gospel for Jesus. I was like, awesome. I'm good with it if you're good with it. He touched me. I said, take me, Holy Ghost. I fell on the floor. I got up, and I had this thought. Because I love Jesus, and because I'm spending all my nights watching sermons and watching preachers and reading the word and studying the scriptures, because I love them so much, I don't think I'm going to go through crazy things. Because I know how to quote the Psalms. I know how to quote the book of Galatians. I can quote these things. I know how to pray. I know how to believe. There's no way that I'm going to go through something crazy. God loves me too much. God has to protect me because he knows that Tyshawn, he's a man of God. And man of God, they don't, when they give their life to Jesus, Jesus protects them, right? That's what I thought. And I remember being older a few years ago, had an opportunity to learn at a great ministry called Elevation Church. I was an intern there, and eventually I came on staff. But in between of being internship and coming on staff, I went through a situation. A situation that honestly, it's changed my life. It made me look at God different, made me look at the Bible different, made me look at church different and church people different. You know what I mean? And I was a part of this great church, and like every week, I'm like, man, we're going to sing another Elevation song. We're gonna start another campus. More people are going to get saved. This is amazing. God, you're so good. God, I'm so blessed. God, I'm so grateful that I get to be here, that I get to be learning under this ministry. And before I know it, I get a phone call, a random phone call on a normal day, on a Sunday, almost 8 years ago or something like that, get a phone call from my mom. And you know what my mom told me? She said, hey, son, I'm calling, and I know we just got off the phone, but son, your brother last night, he was, I don't know how to tell you this, but he was murdered. And not only was he murdered, but six other of your family members, they were murdered, and it was on the news. And son, I'm so sorry, and I just hung up. What do you mean? What do you mean? Ever go through something so hard that you're like, God, what do you mean? Me? God, me? He cheated on me? God, they manipulated me? You mean I lost the job? I lost me? God, I thought that we weren't supposed to go through this. I thought that being a Christian and fasting meant that, God, you were going to prevent evil from coming after me. I thought I was supposed to be blessed and not stress. I thought I was supposed to walk in all your blessings. Why do I feel bogged down by all these burdens? Jesus, John is dead. Tyshawn, Jordan is dead. Austin is dead. They're dead. Now, I remember getting this phone call because I'm supposed to grow up to be a preacher. I'm supposed to go up and tell people that when you follow Jesus, all the bad stuff are supposed to happen. And then I realized that's Dr. Seuss. That's not my Bible. That's Disney Channel. That's not the scriptures. We have this idea that the longer you're saved, of course we're going to be blessed. Nah, a lot of these people were murdered. A lot of these people that write these scriptures that we cling on to, that we're like, that's so special, they wrote it in prison. And I remember coming to a place in myself. I said, God, I can't deal with this. So I became an autopilot Christian. You know what that is? I just say the right things, but I don't mean it. How you doing? I'm blessed. How's life? Good. What you believing for? I don't know, something. I don't know, just believing for something. And I regulated my life down to, I just want to exist. I just want to get through the day. Ironically, I remember when my brother died, I went to Mississippi, and on the way back, I had to stop by this church. It was a church that I knew about all my life. I knew of the preacher all my life, and I was just like, let me stop by the church. My friend invited me. So I stopped by this church, and I remember sitting, because it was one of those churches you had to get there early, so I didn't get there early, because, you know, I get to places late. Don't judge me. Okay, I get there when I want to get there, all right? And I remember getting there a little bit late, sitting in a seat, watching this preacher. And this preacher was preaching on expectation. he had the audacity to say, I don't care what you're going through, God can still use it. Shut up. No, for real though, shut up. Easy for you to say. You got your nice suit with your beautiful church and your beautiful family and everything's going well for you and you're just blessed and God is just good and you posting things and people just like it and people are just for it. Easy for you to say, preacher, God wants to use everything. Oh, you don't want to use this. And we start looking at God and saying, why did you do this to me? And I remember sitting in this service. The preacher got done. He was like, hey, if you want to meet him, you can go up and shake his hand. And I remember shaking his hand, and he looked at me, and he was like, I want to pray for you. And I told him my story. He was like, I don't know about you, young man, but God is going to use you to do some great things. Prayed for me. And I just went back home with that prayer. I went back to Elevation with that prayer. And I was on contract at the Lake Norman campus. And I didn't know what to do, so I didn't want to stay at home because I didn't know anybody in North Carolina. So I said, I'm just going to go to work because I'm working with a whole bunch of Christians. And I got there, my boss looked at me. He was like, what are you doing here? I was like, I don't got no friends. I don't got no family here, so can I just stay? He was like, yeah. So I ended up staying. And I went in, don't tell Pastor Stephen this, though. I went into his green room. I wasn't supposed to, but I went into his green room. And there was a Bible, and I grabbed a Bible. And I opened up the Bible to Matthew chapter 14. Now, when I think Matthew 14, I think feeding of 5,000. I don't think dead John. I think feed, but you always see what you need in the season that you need it. So when I opened up the scripture majority of my life, I saw blessings because blessings is what I wanted. But then I opened up the Bible and I saw blood because blood is what I experienced. And I see this scripture. And then I read verse 13. Verse 13 is so interesting to me. Verse 13 is how I know. When people say he wasn't fully human, no, he was fully human. Because this is how I know, because verse 13 says when he got the news, he withdrew himself. When I think Jesus, I think people. When I think Jesus, I think community. When I think Jesus, I think, hey, we're gonna be just believing for some things. But when I think Jesus, I'm gonna tell you what I don't think, withdrawal. But that's how I know he was fully man, because that's the most human thing that you can do. When life gets hard, what do you want to do? Withdraw. Yep. Withdraw. You grab your phone, put on your music, you're withdrawing. You go home, you had a hard day at work, and you're like, let me just put on the game. You're not watching the game, you're withdrawing. Well, let me just go, I'm going to put some Netflix on, I'm just going to watch some stuff. No, you're not watching stuff, you're withdrawing. You don't want people to bother you. You don't want people to talk to you. You come to church, and you're going to clap, and you're going to give, and you're going to lift your hands, and you're going to go right back in your car, right back to your life, because don't bother me. I'm going through stuff. Just leave me alone. I want to withdraw. I remember reading this verse in Matthew 14, and I was in that green room, and I said, thank you, Jesus. Now I have the biblical reason to withdraw from people. Tyshawn, why don't you text me? Hey, Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, brother. I want you to read it. Read it, internalize it, get to know it. Read it in the Greek. I don't even know if it's in the Greek. Just read it. I'm ignoring you. That's not biblical. No, that's 100% Bible. It's normal to withdraw. It is. I don't want to be with people. I don't want to believe. I don't want to hope. I don't want to want. I just want to get through the day. I'm not trying to win. I'm not trying to lose. I just got to keep going. I'm withdrawing. There's a lot of Christians in today's age that you withdraw from life. You exist and you ain't living because you withdraw. You don't want to believe again because they died. You don't want to believe again because you lost the job. You don't want to believe again because you lost the family. And it's so hard to believe when you know you've experienced loss, so all we want to do is withdraw. Even as an evangelist, that my job is to go around the world preaching the gospel. Do you want to know what I do when life gets hard? I withdraw. My wife's like, what do you think about? I'm like, everything. And life is so hard, and I don't know what to do. And I remember being in that green room, telling the Lord, I'm done. You killed my brother? My brother? I love you, God. I'm not doing something crazy. I love you with all, you gonna kill Jordan? He had 16 scholarships to D1 colleges to play football. I don't even know where he got the athletic gene. It definitely doesn't run in this, in my body. I'm like, man, God, you took one of the good ones. And what am I supposed to do, God? You know what he said? Serve me. I thought you wanted to be a preacher. Oh, you only want to be a preacher when it's good. Oh, you only want to be a preacher when it's big stages. Oh, you only want to be a preacher when you're not going through stuff, when you're too blessed to be stressed. But what about that stress to death? You don't want to be that. So you only want to serve me, Tyshawn, when it's convenient for you. My bad, God. I didn't know that even in my hell, I still am your servant. I thought that hell gave me an excuse to not serve you. I thought, hey, I'm going through hell, I can lie a little bit. Hey, I'm going through hell, I can drink a little bit more. Hey, I'm going through hell. God, you understand. God says, hey, I don't understand nothing that you're doing. Because there is not a scripture that you can find that excuses sin because you are going through hell. In fact, the scripture you will find is that someone went through hell because you went to sin. In fact, the reason that Jesus existed and the reason that he came with skin and bone on was not to hang out with us and just to be around us and bless us and prophesy. But the reason that he came was because he had to justify humanity to God the Father. And he had to reconcile what we did and he had to get us back into eternity. He says, I'm going to do whatever I need to do. And if I need to die because of your sin, I'm going to die. And if I got to be perfect every day, I'm going to be perfect. And if there's sometimes I could lie, I won't lie, which is crazy. Jesus never lied. Imagine wearing an ugly outfit and going up to Jesus. Jesus, do I look ugly in this? You just see Jesus walk away from you. He's like, I cannot lie, but I will not discourage my children. I remember reading this, Matthew 14, withdraw. He went alone. He wanted to be by himself. And if I was honest, I want to be by myself. Don't bother me. Don't talk to me. Don't text me. Don't do it. I need to be by myself because I got to. And I felt this morning. I woke up at 5 in the morning by accident. I'm not spiritual. It was an accident. I said, the devil is a lie. I woke up and I felt something for this church this morning. And I felt the Lord tell me, don't you get up and just preach like it's normal. You need to preach because there's people going through some stuff. And I don't know who this sermon is for, but I just want to tell you this under the sound of my voice, that even though you have gone through what you've gone through, he still has something he wants to do in you. He still has something he wants to do through you. Do you mean that God can still use me broken? He prefers that. Because if he uses you and you're all good, it don't feel like God. It feels like you. But when you get up and you're like, hey, I don't got no money. And God says, say you're blessed. You're like, I don't want to say I'm blessed because I don't got no money. You give me some money, I'll say it real quick. And he says, I want you to say it without it. So when I do it, you understand it was me that gave it. So say that you're blessed. And there's these things in our mind that we entertain. And we entertain withdrawing. There's someone in this room, you're entertaining another family. You're entertaining another life. You're entertaining another church. You're entertaining another relationship. You're entertaining something because you're just like, I'm so tired of this that I got to figure out a way to reconcile it. So Matthew chapter 14 was my favorite verse. Chapter 14, verse 13 was my favorite verse until I read Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. Because this is when Jesus starts acting all Jesus again. The Bible says that when Jesus heard the news, he withdrew himself. He says, I got to be by myself. I don't want to be with anyone. But the Bible says that when the crowds heard the news, they went to look for Jesus. This is like the idea, like, I don't know if you ever feel this way, but like sometimes when I'm really like, I have time and energy and I'm happy, I'm like, man, I want to text some people. And I'll just start calling. Man, no one answers. And that hurts, doesn't it? When you call like your closest friend, they don't answer. Then you come up with an excuse. Oh, no, he busy. That's it. Let me call this friend. Okay, they busy too. And then it hurts when you open up Instagram or social media and you see they're doing something. You're like, okay, that hurts. It's all good. And you start realizing like maybe I'm by myself. maybe I have nobody to call, and it's okay because I got a dry phone. And I'm going to tell you the worst, when you're like, I don't want to hang out with nobody. I had the worst day. My credit card is maxed out. I got no fun. I'm going to stay at home and drink water with a side of ice. I'm just going to stay home. And then people start calling you, hey, let's go out. Let's have fun. And you're like, when I had it, no one called me. And now I feel like I have nothing to give, and now everyone's calling me. Sometimes it feels that way when you're going through hell. You pray prayers like this when you're not going through hell. God uses me. God, use me. Use me for your glory, Lord. Use me in the workplace, Lord. Use me with my children. God's like, okay, use you. All right. Then 6 months later, you start going through hell. And you're like, God, I didn't say abuse me. I said use me, Lord. And then he's like, no, I'm about to use you. While you're going through hell, you notice somebody. The point of the story is that Jesus still noticed other people even when he was going through hell himself. The crowd start coming to Jesus because I'm going to tell you what circumstance would do. It clouds your sight and you can't see nobody no more. That's how I know a person hasn't been out of their house in a long time, or they haven't talked to someone in a long time, because their circumstance, it becomes everything they obsess with. It's almost like as if they can't even see life anymore, and they're just super discouraged, and they're stuck in this place, and they're stuck in this mentality, and they can't get out of it. Jesus can get you out of it. But the way he wants to get you out of it is that you gotta see people. I hate people, I know that sounds strong, I dislike people that don't see other people when they get blessings. Because when you didn't have the blessings you had, you said, man, I remember, man, when I get older, I'm going to do this. And then you get blessed, and suddenly you get amnesia. And you don't know how to bless people. You don't know how to do the thing that you said you were going to do. You told God, if you bless me financially, I'm going to give to the church, and God bless you financially. And you're like, okay, do I need to give it to all of them right now, Lord, or can I give them payments? Because now I'm blessed, Lord, and that car looking real good in the name of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? In your name, though, not my name, your name. And we can forget. What I love about this situation is that Jesus loses his cousin, and he still can see other people. Can you lose things in this life and still look for other people? Can you lose in life and still look for opportunities to serve other people? Can you lose everything you have and still say, God, I'm looking for you to use me? Jesus says, I'm still looking, even though I'm hurt. And the Bible says that the crowd see Jesus, and they start coming to him. And the Bible says he has compassion. He has compassion. Do you know what circumstances do? You know what it steals? Your compassion. When you go through hell, you don't care when other people are going through hell. I'm going through, I don't care. My situation's worse than their situation. But Jesus didn't let circumstance steal his compassion. He says, I still see people. I still see you. And what was so interesting is the Bible says that all these people start lining up for Jesus to heal them. As the piano comes, I'm going to conclude my message very quickly. They walk up, and maybe one person says, Jesus, I got a headache. He said, heal. Jesus, this situation, healed. Jesus, I'm concerned about this. He tells the future, okay, healed. Healed. You know what's crazy? I don't think anyone walked up to Jesus and said, what can we do for you? And sometimes that's what hurts the most. You are doing all this for everybody else. You are preaching. You are working hard. You are believing. You're trying to keep this together, trying to keep that together, trying to keep you together, and you're doing everything, and you're helping him, and you're helping her, and you're helping him again, and then you're doing this, and you're doing that, and then you wonder, is anyone going to help me? Is anybody going to help my marriage? Is anybody going to help my finances? Is anybody going to help me? God, can you use me? And God says, you don't even understand, Jesus. I'm using you. I'm using you. What's so crazy to me is that Matthew 14, this is how it starts. It starts off with the most horrible story. I knew reading Matthew 14, I knew they were like, he's probably reading the wrong verse. He ain't reading the right thing. There's no way he's talking about beheading on a Sunday. No, I am. But it's crazy that a horrific story like that leads to one of the best stories that's not just in one gospel. It's in all four: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you go home, I encourage you, compare those books. They're four books on the same perspective. They're all about our Lord Jesus Savior. And Matthew will share some things that maybe Mark doesn't say. Mark shares some things that maybe Luke never even cares about. John is so theological and so in love with Jesus that he will share things in such a way that makes you feel like, were we watching the same movie? Like, why did you start off like this? But in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, there's really only two stories that's in both of them. And it's not even the birth of Jesus. It's the cross and the resurrection. And it's this story of the feeding of the 5,000. It was Jesus serving. I'ma heal you. 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 I know I'm hurting, but I'ma keep healing. I know I'm hurting, but I'ma keep helping. I know that you're hurting. I remember being a kid and I made the decision when I was gonna be a preacher. I remember being in my room at 15 years old, pacing back and forth, and I told myself, Tyshawn, you're learning how to lie now. Remember that when you get older. And what I meant by that is that I was learning how to get around people and act like everything was okay around 14 and 15, and it wasn't. And I told myself, remember that when you get older, because you're gonna go to churches like this where the people are beautiful and you can assume because they look so great that they're not going through hell, but maybe you are going through hell. And maybe you can just dress it up very well. And maybe you just had a mom like me that you knew you gotta get in the house of God on Sundays. And you're wondering, what can God do with me? I don't think anyone planned on John's death being the precursor that would set up the story of feeding not 5,000, but 10 to 15,000 people. I look at that story and I say, God, I want to feed thousands for your glory, Lord. God, I would love it. If you can choose anyone, God, choose me. And God says, okay, Tyshawn, I choose you. Fair. Then I went through hell. And it took me years to talk about what happened with my brother. As I conclude, I'll tell you what happened. My brother died in 2017. I left Elevation Church, became a youth pastor at this other church. And a few months in, the pastor and the executive pastor was like, hey, Tyshawn, we want you to preach to the church. I'm like, y'all want me to preach to the whole thing, like not the young people? They're like, all of the adults. They're like, yeah. I was like, ooh, okay. So I went to the church auditorium when no one was around the night before, and I walked into the auditorium. This had to be God. I promise you I'm not making this up. And I went to the same seat that I sat in when I visited this church when my brother died. It never even crossed my mind that the place you're working at now is the place you went to when it all happened. And the man that said, hey, God's gonna use you one day, is now your pastor. He's not someone you're watching online to other people. He's Jensen. He's the fasting guy. He's the beautiful hair guy. He's that guy. But to me, he's your pastor. And I was sitting in this church about to get up and preach. And I remember when I got up that night in March to preach to the church, the whole time I was looking at my seat. And I thought to myself, 2 years ago, I did not think that I would be in this same room preaching a message. You know what I preached on? And I didn't even know it. Matthew chapter 14. And you know what I told the church? I said, sometimes miracles come in the most inconvenient times. And maybe this is not a convenient time for you. I get it. Maybe you're like, I wish you would have preached this message 10 years ago. You didn't need it 10 years ago. You need it now. And I remember preaching that message. I remember going home. I thought to myself, I said, God, was this your plan all along? Like, did you know that was going to happen? He was like, kind of, you know, I am God, Ty. But I still want to use you. I still want to use that pain. And it took me years to actually give Jesus that pain. It happened in 2017, but I didn't give it to him until 2021. Because I felt like because it happened to me, it belonged to me. This is my pain. He was my brother. This is my cross to bear. I got to just carry it. And God says, what if I want to carry that too? What if I want to carry that and I want to carry you? So the message is pretty simple today. If you're in this room and you have mourning, I don't know what you're mourning about. You could be mourning. Mourning can last a long time. You can be depressed about something that happened a decade ago. There's times, even these last few days, where the Lord's been like, hey, I need you to let that go. And I was 17. And I'm 31. He's like, Tyshawn, let it go. And I'm like, no, I don't want to give this to you. I spent so much time with this pain. This pain has defined me. This pain, I'm one with the pain, Lord. I don't know if I can be. I need this pain. Give it to me. You've been holding it for years, son, and it's all it's doing is holding you down. Give it to me. So in this sacred season, before we go into all the things that God has for you in 2025, and let me say this, it is beyond. I had a dream, a vision. It wasn't even a dream, a vision of this church this morning. I'm not even saying this just for Pastor Daryl or his family. I'm saying it because I felt it. I closed my eyes and I saw this room filled. And I saw it filled with family members that are connected to this room right now. Because I believe the thing that God wants to give you is a message that you can actually be proud of to share. Because if you go home and you say, man, I went to this church and everything changed and my life is perfect, it's going to be hard for people to get behind that message. But if you go back into your workplace, if you go back into the schools, if you post on social media, not this stuff, church was great today, woo! No, church was hard today. Because for the first time, I thought about my daughter who got miscarried 13 years ago, and I gave that to God today. Church was rough today. Because my dad who abused me, left me, and said things that he should have never said to me, I forgave him in church today. And what is that going to do? That mourning will lead to miracles. My points are very simple. Mourning will lead to ministry. If you want to know what you're called to do, ask yourself what hurts you. Because whatever hurts you is probably something you're called to do. In that mourning, divorce, that mourning, death, that mourning, cancer, that mourning, poverty, that mourning, whatever that is, can lead to ministry when someone is going through that very thing. That's what mourning does. It can lead to ministry moments. What would it look like if a divorced mom goes helps another divorced mom? What would it look like if a single father start helping a single father? What would it look like if we stop looking at our mourning like misery and start looking at our mourning like ministry? No, this is what I can minister to. And I have a long list of things that I can minister to because I have a long list of things that I've mourned with him about. So it will lead from mourning to ministry, from mourning to mantles. God will give you a mantle to handle something. When death happens, a mass shooting happens, you can call on Tyshawn Rowland. I got a mantle in this. I got authority in this. This is something that I feel like I can minister to. God wants to take your mourning. He wants to lead it to ministry. He wants to give you a mantle. He wants to do things. But more importantly, he wants to give you a miracle. If you're in this room, and maybe you're young as 8 or 9, or maybe you're as blessed to be at an age that I won't even say the age, but you're blessed. And you're hearing this message and you're saying, I need to give this to God today. I'm telling you, you will go home different. This was the prayer. God, I want everyone that leaves to leave lighter. I want them to get in their car and be like, what you want to eat? Because I just feel good. Because God's been trying to do that for you for a long time. So when I count to 3, I want you to consider. I want you to process. And if that's you, I want you to come up, and it would be my privilege to pray for you. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Trying to fill the altar just to fill the altar, but there are people that you've been sitting in it for so long, the idea of being out of it sounds crazy. I know if I was sitting in this room and someone said, hey, come up here, God wants to use the death of your brother, I would say that's crazy. But now it's been so many years, I've been able to meet people. I met a girl a few years ago who I told her my story. And after I got out done, she walked up to me and she was like, I've been waiting for someone to preach on this. She was like, my brother died in a drive-by. She said, the bullet went through me and it went inside of his heart and it killed him and it didn't kill me. And for many, many years, I was wondering if God could do anything. And you preached this one message and I want to give him my morning. So I've learned to rush my message, but I'm never going to rush an altar call. So I'm going to count to three one more time. Not because these people are not enough, you guys are enough, but I just really want to give God an opportunity to get you out of what the enemy is trying to keep you in. So I'm going to count to three one more time. One, two, three.